This is Les from the TV Dudes. Coming up, we have one of my interviews from ATX Television Festival Season 6. I sat down with the cast of Bajillion Dollar Properties, including Paul F. Tompkins, Drew Tarver, and Tawny Newsom. We got interrupted a little bit by Scott Aukerman, Kulat Vlasic, and a host of other comedians, because that's just how ATX Television Festival is. So enjoy the interview, and don't worry about it when it falls apart at the end. That's just more celebrities crashing. I'm sitting here with all the talented people from Bajillion Dollar Properties.
All of them.
Yes, all of them.
The only ones.
It's complete. So just to introduce everybody that's here, I've got Drew Tarver.
Hello.
You play Baxter?
I do, yes.
And I have Paul F. Tompkins here, who plays Dean.
Correct.
And then Tawny Newsom, who plays Crystal Lightly.
Yes, Chelsea Lightly. I like Crystal Lightly better.
Crystal Lightly.
That's amazing.
It's a good one.
You have to change it.
Oh, but yeah. Kulak said I could change it for season 5.
Crystal Lightly is so funny.
Oh, that's my contribution.
Oh my gosh.
Comedy for the rest of my life.
You get no credit, though. I'm so sorry.
I wouldn't expect it. That's how I know it's really professional.
Yeah.
My mom won't drink water and only drinks Crystal Light.
Stop.
What?
I know. We harass her. We make fun of her. We're like, Mom, like, we're trying to shame her into drinking water. I don't know how she's alive.
I mean, you have to mix it with water, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the way she's getting
the
water.
I think water's nasty.
What is happening?
So water, two sugars, and she's good.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's nasty. Is it your pipes?
I don't know. No, it's just any water.
Oh, goodness.
It's rough.
Mrs. Tarver, please start drinking water.
So almost everybody on the show came from an improv background or sounds like has been involved at some point in UCB or Second City or Groundlings or stand-up.
I come from stand-up. I might be the only person that doesn't have actual training. I guess I learned improv from doing podcasts, really, doing characters and stuff like that. And that was kind of my, like, by osmosis, kind of, you know, picking up the fundamentals of it.
The guest stars on your show are consistently just amazing. Have you ever run into a time where you've been stuck with a partner on improv that just didn't gel? How do you overcome that? Or how do you look for that common ground with someone you're not used to working with?
I kind of like the challenge of, you know, if you're paired with someone, you mean like in a show, like a live show, if you're paired with someone who you haven't worked with before or your styles just aren't meshing, I sort of like the little game of like, we got to figure this out. These people are sitting here looking at us. Like, it's sort of fun for me to, because it's always really nice to play with like really adept people that you gel with really easily. So I kind of like the crunchy moments where you're like, I don't know and you don't know, but something's got to happen.
Yeah, I kind of really like somebody whose style that I don't understand. I really love playing with them because I'm trying to figure out like what their instincts are. And it's kind of fun. Like, a lot of times at UCB, like, I find someone so different from me comedically that I love, like, trying to mimic their style with them, almost, or, like, figure out how they're funny and do what they want to do or mesh with them or whatever.
I think that part of the appeal of improv is the potential for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's, like, you're really just out there and you have to rely on each other to make a thing go. And what feels like ages when you are on stage goes by in seconds, you know, for the audience. And that's kind of, I don't know, that's one of the things I really love about it is when time slows down in your head and you're, you know, you have to keep going, but you also have to figure something out. You know, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And the worst feeling is when you're the person that's not that's not telling. It's like, I thought that would be good too, and it wasn't. And
ask everybody that improvises with us that question.
So I know from interviewing Kulak yesterday that there is a structure to the seasons of the show, which I'll make two at a time, but that there's generally shoot everything else and then modularly put it together to keep the arcs going. Is there anything that you've wanted to do with a character that got shot down of no, you can't run with that?
There's definitely things we like ran out of time for or just like couldn't fit into the season.
Yeah.
Because we'd have these meetings before every season would start with Kulak and all the writers, and it's just like a nice way to like get back, touch base, talk about what they already foresee for the season, what they've already written, and then you get a chance to bring your ideas to it too. And I know that I pitch something and everyone was really excited about it, and then it couldn't fit. But I can't remember what it was, so it must not have been that important.
I think I came in and pitched, like, what if my character, like, wants to become Dickie Betts? Like, one of the guitarists for the Allman Brothers?
Yeah, why? What do you mean, become?
Like, I don't
take
know.
Take over his identity?
I'm not sure what the pitch was, even. Like, I remember just being like, oh, shit, we're supposed to have pitches today. Become Dickie Betts. Like, and I think they were like, okay, no, but then they were like, well, what if he does start a band, or like, we were kind of like playing around, and we do like a thing in season 3 where we become this band, the Wheelbarrows, or try this band, and I don't know if that's where that came from, or we had, I don't even remember.
Kulak was just, I think we were singing karaoke at Kulak's house, and she was like, season 3, you guys have a band.
That's right. That's right. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Like, okay.
So I think when becoming Dickie Betts was a big no.
It's funny, the ending of that story of the band with Dean taking it over came from my meeting with the writers. I don't know how it came up, but that video of William Shatner singing Rocket Man at the Science Fiction Awards years ago, because none of the people in the writers' room had seen it. I think maybe Kulak had seen it. And I don't know how it came up in the conversation, but we stopped and we watched that whole video. And then when that ended up in season 3, I was like, oh, I think this is because of me.
That's
funny. I accidentally pitched this.
So I don't feel like it would be possible to do this show without some affection for the format of reality TV and how it lends itself to jokes. Is there a least favorite reality TV show? I mean, I know that there are some that are fun to hate watch, but is there one you feel like is just not even getting their thing done? You guys are killing it as a reality show that isn't technically a reality show.
Right. I don't watch a lot of that stuff because it's so negative, you know, because it's like the fun of it is to watch people be awful to each other, you know. That, I mean, the other formats of reality are like, we're going to take a crappy thing and make it into a nice thing, you know, or you look like garbage and we're going to make you look nice, you know, whatever, like, those I can see, and I've watched those and seen the, and felt the satisfaction of that, you know, of like, it starts out one way, it ends up another. But when it's literally just following around a bunch of disgusting people and watching them be disgusting, it's not my, that's not my favorite thing.
I also find them to be humorless. So I like Drag Race because it has such a sense of humor about itself, but also the melodrama, the line between melodrama and absurd pastiche is so blurry, and I love it because I think it knows exactly what it's doing. Whereas the other ones, I'm like, I can't watch the Kardashian or any of that stuff because I'm just like, you're not creating anything. Two, you're just being awful to each other, and
it's all bullshit.
It's all none of it. Yeah, it's not, and there's no sense of humor. Or when they like try to crack a joke, my blood boils because I'm like, you have the worst taste in the world.
What's funny is that the way our show is shot, it ends up being edited together like an actual reality show, because we have our season overview of what we're trying to do, but then there's these kind of one-off modular scenes that fit in anywhere that are then wedded to the story and provide, you know, when we do the talking heads later, you know, we backdoor in motivations for people to do something that affects the outcome of the story. And it's like, it's the same as reality, just they shoot a bunch of stuff and they're like, okay, what are we going to say the story is here, you know?
Favorite thing that you've gotten to do with your character, favorite moment? I've particularly loved the Black Friday story in season 3 that ends Glenn's emo phase. But is there a favorite bit you've ever gotten to do or something you've gotten to run with your character?
Man, it's tough. It's a fun show. You know, we get to do a lot of crazy stuff.
It's fast-paced.
For me, the first thing that comes to mind is making that answering machine message with Eugene Cordero, because that was maybe the hardest I ever broke while filming, I think. We couldn't get through it. We kept laughing. We both kept laughing. It's a miracle that there was a usable take. That's a tribute to our editors for sure, because there was not a moment that one of us was not laughing. But, you know, it was fun to get Dean out of the office and get to go to different locations. And there's some more of that in season 4 as well.
Yeah, I really enjoy any time I'm fighting with Ryan. That was a fun... thing to do in season three was just scream at each other and like physically fight. Any like physical stuff like that was very fun.
Yeah. I loved the fire drill scene. I thought it was so, like, there's three of them, and they're so stupid, and we're all, like, it's just so ridiculous, just not understanding what fire is. And again, it got kind of, like, physical, and...
Yeah.
That scene you had with Craig Kukowski.
Oh, the dancing, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes, Todd the Janitor.
That was one we only shot once, so it's funny how quickly it faded from, because it was just one quick, like, not a quick take, but, like, it was kind of, like, one long take, and Kulop would kind of shout more things to do, and then, we're talking about at the end of episode three. Hi, Scott Aukerman. Scott Aukerman's here, everyone. He's
bringing his loud food.
Yes. Ooh, guess what it is.
We get corn nuts for everybody.
You motherfuckers being interviewed?
It's Ornery Scott.
Always
But yeah, that, again, like that physical kind of like thing. But it, yeah, I sort of forgot about it because I hadn't, we only did it once.
So good.
And then, yeah.
We did, you know, because Craig Kukowski is such a great improviser, and we all got to do, it was like a day where we just all shot stuff, individual stuff with Craig, and just like, you know, things have nothing to do with the story or anything, but just like, let's see what happens, you know, with like just the thinnest idea.
Yeah, the thinnest. Fernie, Alex Fernie, who directed a lot of the episodes, because sometimes the scenes will be like pretty like outlined and you know the beats, and sometimes this was when I got a prompt I got for Craig Kukowski. It's like, okay, he comes in with his janitor cart and you can't get by him. And this is a big hallway. Like, it's very easy to get by. It's not like a tight fit. Like, and that was the prompt, and it was one of the most fun. I don't know if it even... I think it made it into one or two, yeah.
Or is it in four?
Oh, is it? Maybe, I don't know.
Saw it.
I would, yeah.
That's just like the prompt on the breakdown, or on the call sheet that just said, the brokers all sit in beanbag chairs around the conference table and try to see over it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like the only direction for that scene. I think that'll be in season four.
So with anthology shows all the rage and making their way back on television, is there another show that you would take the bajillion crew and cast as? Or another type of show?
Yeah, I would love to do something. I've wanted to do something for years. It's just like that's an anthology where it's, you know, you have like a rep company and they're playing different characters every week, you know, but it's the same actors.
Yeah.
I would love to do something like that.
That would be so fun.
Yeah.
I think we'd be good in the next season of Homeland. Just like drop us
we
right in there.
We would be great.
I would start watching that show again.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we'd be great.
I think you'd be
Carrie.
Yes.
Be Carrie.
I would be Carrie.
yeah. And, you know, fill it in from there. It lines right up.
It all falls into itself.
Yeah.
That's what it does. And some sad news today. I don't know if y'all have heard that Adam West passed away.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know if y'all grew up loving comics or loving that stuff. Is there a Batman villain or a comic character that you'd love to play in a movie? Or?
I mean, they've all been done so well. We could all play the Joker.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to play the Joker all the time.
Yes.
Why don't we get a turn?
Yeah.
Right?
It's our turn.
I mean, Gotham's got six or seven of them.
I want to play Bane's daughter.
Lula Bane?
Yeah.
I just want to play Christian Bale, but like probably in another movie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Everybody.
Hi, guys. Hey, what's going on? Good to see you.
We're doing an interview.
Oh, I didn't realize.
This is a well-run.
This is. Oh, I can't.
We're just being interrupted nonstop by Paul Scheer.
Are we done?
Yes, I think
Thank
we can.
You.
Okay,
sorry
yeah.
About
sorry.
That.
Sorry. So this has been.
You guys did it on. I just did it at the exact right time.
Honestly, technology. Right? Right? You put that in your ear, like, you don't even know anymore.
You thought we were just vaping.
It's
a vape hookah. I don't think of a better way to wrap that up. This has been wonderful. Thank you guys so much.
Thank
this
you.
Was great.
Yeah, thank you.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter @TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.